I need your help with something. While you're listening to today's episode, please leave a review of our show on iTunes or Stitcher and make sure you subscribe to the show on your favorite platform. Both of those, the reviews and the subscriptions, push our show up in the rankings so more people can find out about it. That helps me so I can help you. Let's get into the show. The only person who gives a fuck about your career, about your future, about where you're going next is not your boss. It is not your supervisor. It is not this person or that person. It's not anybody other than the person in the mirror. And if you are not minding your business, I guarantee you, nobody else is minding it.
StayAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
The Super You, the Mental Handbook, the Mental Workbook, 25 Reasons to Quit Worrying, 25 Conversation Starters, the Overseas Basketball Blueprint, Buy a Game. You either love those books or you would love them if you had read them already. But how would you like, even better, to let me read them to you? How would you like to get the audio version of any of the books that I've mentioned, any book that I've ever put out? You can now. I partnered with Audible to get you a free 30-day trial of Audible, where you can get any one of my books completely for free, and you can keep the book at the end of your trial even if you choose not to stick with Audible. If you choose to stick with Audible, you get a free book every month on top of special prices for any books that you wish to purchase. Get your free Audible 30-day trial membership and your free Dre Baldwin book by going to DreAllDay.com/audible right now. I really enjoy creating and sharing the Work On Your Game podcast, and I really appreciate everyone who's been listening, sharing, and leaving reviews. And if we're going to keep this show going, I'm going to need the support of my listeners. That's why I opened up a Patreon account for everyone who listens to this show to support the show, get some great bonuses for being a supporter, and keep the Work On Your Game podcast coming every single day as it has been all these days since 2016. Go to patreon.com/DreAllDay to learn how you can support the show and get some bonuses for yourself at the same time. That's patreon.com/DreAllDay. I have something free for you. The Super You, my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence. I want to send you a free copy of that book, physical, not digital, not a PDF. All you need to do is go to DreAllDay.com/free, and I'll send you a free copy of The Super You. You take care of the shipping. Again, that's my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence called The Super You. Go to DreAllDay.com/free, and I'll send you a copy of that book. Do it now. Let's get to it. Congratulations, you are now tuned in to the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when you have not yet achieved the success you've expected to achieve. And on top of this, you're going to become a go-getter with the personal initiative to go make things happen and go get them instead of waiting for things to happen and come to you. Putting all this together, you get the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. And if you were here yesterday, which you should have been, then you already know what to expect for today's episode. We are going into part two of two, the best advice I ever received from the basketball coaches and authority figures, since there's going to be one here that wasn't from a coach, that I ever received in my life. So I gave you points 1 through 6, the 6 best pieces of it, first 6 yesterday. I'm going to give you the second 6 today. These are in no particular order. I just thought of them chronologically. And they're in a loose chronological order. So let's get right into it. So I gave you 1 through 6. So today we're starting with number 7. Number 7, best piece of advice I ever got from a coach, came from a coach by the name of Kenny Macklin. Now, Kenny Macklin is the guy who actually recruited me to Penn State Altoona in the summer of 2001. And the way that that happened, if you don't know that story, I went to Penn State Abington my freshman year. Didn't even want to be at Penn State Abington, but went to Penn State Abington for financial reasons coming out of college when I was thinking of going to other schools. And that summer, after my freshman year, playing on the team, had an okay season, I would go up to Abington's campus, which is 20 minutes from Mount Airy, every day and work on my game. Just by myself, just working on my game. I was not taking summer classes. The coach didn't tell me to do it. None of my teammates were coming to the gym. This was not an off-season workout. This was me coming to the gym and practicing by myself just because I had access to the gym as a student. Nobody would ever be in the gym at Penn State Abington. And a funny story is 5 years later, when I came back from playing in Mexico 2006, I went back to that same gym because I had an alumni ID and would practice, and it was still empty 5 years later. So for 5 years, all summer, the gym at Penn State Abington was empty. So if you can get access to that gym, you probably got a place to work out. But anyway, side note, I would go to that gym every day and work out, practice by myself. No classes being taken in the summer. One particular day, I hadn't eaten breakfast at home. So I decided I would walk across campus to the cafeteria. And Penn State Abington's campus is like four buildings. I walked across the campus to the cafeteria to get something to eat. Walking out of the caf, some black guy approached me and asked me, what position do you play? He started talking all this basketball stuff. I knew I didn't know this guy. And Penn State Abington's a small campus, so I knew I didn't know this guy. Turns out he was Kenny Macklin, coach of Penn State Altoona. He wasn't even looking for me. He wasn't even on a basketball recruiting trip, but he saw me walk by and he just had an inference. His instincts told him that this is a guy I need to recruit. And thank you, Kenny Macklin, for having that instinct, because I ended up going to Penn State Altoona. Now, Kenny Macklin, when I went on my recruiting visit, my father actually drove me out there. We drove out there together to Altoona, which is 4 hours away from Philadelphia. And I remember we were right before we left. We were about to drive back to Philadelphia to go home after spending the day with Macklin, walking around campus and this and that. We were in a parking lot at Logan Valley Mall, Altoona, Pennsylvania. And Kenny Macklin standing outside of his car. We're standing outside of our car. And Kenny Macklin says to me, it's the last thing he said to me. He said, Dre, I'm not recruiting you here to be an average player. He said, I got enough average players already on the roster. Right, if I need another average player, I could get one without having to recruit you. Somebody walking around campus who can be an average player. I'm not bringing you here to be average. Now, I'm telling you that to tell you this. That's point number seven. You are not walking in the room to be the average player. If you got game, show your game. If you got skills, show your game. You feel you should be getting more opportunity, speak up for your opportunity. If you have skills, show your skill. If you have talent, make sure people know about your talent. Whatever it was you were brought in the room to do, make sure you deliver on that. Because if you don't, for whatever reason, then you may be messing up the whole situation. I didn't have that great of a sophomore season. Kenny Macklin ended up getting fired. A new coach came in. I ended up getting fired off the basketball team the year after. That's what happens when someone does not deliver on what is expected of them. For whatever reason, a whole lot that goes into that story, you can read about that at another time. You got to be able to deliver on what it was you were brought in the room to do. And if you don't, you may be messing up the plans of a whole lot of other people besides just yourself. And I talked about that in another episode, that when you're a professional, your work is affecting not just one person, but affecting a whole bunch of other people. So you got to make sure you are prepared and ready to deliver on what is asked of you. And the second point, the second principle I give you every single day on this podcast when I introduce it is what? Putting yourself out there boldly and authentically. If you got game, you got to put it out there boldly. You got to put it out there authentically. Be who you are. Show your game as it is. And whatever happens, happens. Point number eight. Today's topic. We're on episode 2 of 2 in this series, 2-part series. Best advice I ever got from my basketball coaches. If you didn't catch episode 1, go back and listen to it. Oh, yeah. This point here was not a piece of advice. I had to have a look in my note here to figure out what the advice was. So Kenny Macklin loses his job as coach at Penn State Altoona. New coach comes in, guy by the name of Armin Gilliam. Now, Armin Gilliam was a former NBA player. He played 13 years in the NBA. I remember 13 years because he reminded all of us of his 13 years many times during practice. Many times when he wanted to get his point across and he felt like we weren't listening to him, he would make sure he yelled out to us, I played 13 years in the NBA. He said it many times in his years coaching at Penn State Altoona. But anyway, Armin Gilliam comes in as a new coach. Now, Armin Gilliam kind of wanted to create a new regime at Altoona. He wanted to get rid of all the players from the previous season because the team hadn't been very good the previous season. So understandable that he wanted to get rid of those players. And he got rid of a whole bunch of them during tryouts. We had about 9 returning players eligible. Only 3 of them made the team, me and 2 other guys. And by the time I was the last one, there was a point by January, I was the last one from that old regime still on the roster. And by the end of January, nobody from that old regime was still on the roster because I was off the team. And the thing that I learned from that situation is this. This wasn't actually a piece of advice, but this is something that I learned from that situation. You got to listen to the boss. Even if you're the type of person who likes to be the boss, you're the type of person who considers yourself a leader. You don't like taking orders from other people. You don't like somebody talking down to you. You don't like someone telling you what to do. You don't like someone, maybe you just don't like somebody for whatever reason, and you don't like the ideas that they have. You think their ideas are terrible. You think their process doesn't work. And you just want to go against the grain. There are some battles that you just won't win. There are some power struggles that you will lose because you just don't have the power. And this is something that I learned as a college player. College basketball players don't have power. So if you're a college player, or you're planning on being one, you ain't got no power. At least not compared to the coach, you don't. The school is more invested in the coach than they are in you. How much money they invest in the coach, how much money they investing in you. All right, you just do a simple comparison and you got your answer right there. So there are some power struggles you won't win. You got to sometimes listen to the ball. Sometimes you have to learn to bend to authority. There was an analogy that Robert Greene uses. I believe it was in the 48 Laws of Power, which is I believe it's law number 21, if I'm remembering correctly, which is using the surrender tactic. You got to learn how to transform weakness into power. You are not always going to be the stronger entity, and you got to learn when to bend to somebody else's will because they just got more power than you, at least in that moment. I believe it was the oak tree, he was saying, when it faces a strong wind because it's so stiff, it's not willing to bend, oak trees get snapped and blown over. But the willow, which always bends to the wind, lasts longer because whatever the situation is, it always gives just enough to bend but not break. Point number 9. Today's topic is part 2 of 2, best advice I ever got from my basketball coaches. I remember when I signed my first contract, I was in Kaunas, Lithuania, very first practice, and I got a shock at my very first practice. In my very first practice, this is what happened. The coach put me at the point guard position and told me he wanted me to run the pick and roll. And any of you know basketball, you know the pick and roll is a very basic play in basketball. Anyone playing a point guard position, especially now, today, is expected to know how to run the pick and roll pretty well. If you can't run the pick and roll, you can't be a lead guard in basketball. But this is 2005 when this happened. And at this point, I had never played point guard on a basketball team. Ever in my life had I played point guard. Now, I could dribble. I could grab a rebound and go coast to coast. I could create my own shot against a defender. But I had never played the point guard position. I had never in my life run the pick and roll. Not once before that day in practice. And the coach is telling me run the pick and roll. Needless to say, I did not know what the hell I was doing. Now, after a couple plays where I was kind of shocked, like, well, how the hell do I do this? I know I've seen it on TV. Wait, I'm supposed to do this and this. After a couple plays, I just figured, you know what? I'm just going to play how I play, and hopefully those skills show through. And luckily, they did. But I'm telling you all that to tell you this. When you step into a certain role, especially when you are recruited for that role or you sell yourself for a certain role, there are certain skills which will be expected of you to have. They are not expecting to teach you those skills. They're not expecting you to have a learning curve for those skills. They expect you to have them when you walk in the room. Okay, so this is not, I will learn if I get to this point. This is, I already got them when I get here. And if you walk in the room and it shows that you don't have them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be walking out of the room immediately. When you are a professional, if you're taking money for what you do, and I've talked about this in many episodes, most recently about the being a professional speaker, or speaking in public, if you're taking money for what you do, there are certain skills that are expected of you to have that they're not expecting to teach you. They don't think they need to tell you or give you the details. They're expecting you to have them. And if you ain't got them, then they're going to throw you right back out of there. And they might take their money back in the process. There are skills expected. So you're going to play point guard in basketball. You better know how to run the pick and roll. So have your skills ready for whatever it is you're doing. If you don't know what skills are expected of you, listen, get on Google and find out. All right, every skill somebody tells you, just make sure you got it. Better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. Point number 10. Today's topic is part 2 of 2, the best advice I ever got from my basketball coaches. When I was in Mexico, I remember a coach said to me once, he was telling me how another American player that he knew was playing really well. It was this guy named Rufus. I think that was his last name. His last name was Rufus. And he said, listen, I want you to watch this guy, Rufus. I want you to notice something about him. He was an American. And he said, every time Rufus gets the ball, he either scores or he gets fouled. Every single time. And he said to me, Dre, as an American playing out here, that's what you need to do. You can't just be okay. You can't be moving the ball around. You can't be a quote unquote team player. You definitely can't be a role player. You need to either score or get fouled every time you touch the ball. That's just the style here. That's just what's expected of you here. That's what you got to bring to the table. Either you're going to do it or you're not. But if you're not doing it, they're not going to want you. They're not going to think you're that good because you're not doing that. And a parallel story. I was in Germany. This is a couple years later. I was in Germany and I remember this coach, this agent actually, brought me around to a team to practice with them. A team that was playing in a league that I wanted to get into. And we're practicing with this team. The floor was dusty as hell. I don't know if any of you ball players have experiences with dusty ass basketball floors. But when I was playing ball and I would put my videos on YouTube, players would sometimes ask me, Dre, why do you keep touching the bottom of your shoes after every play? Every time you check the ball or every time you run back on defense, you keep touching the bottom of your shoes. Why the hell do you keep doing that? Because people didn't know why I was doing it. And I was explaining to people. Some people knew. But I was explaining to people because the floor is so damn dusty, I got to wipe the dust off the bottom of my shoes. That's the only way I have grip. And if I didn't have grip, I didn't feel like I could play the way that I wanted to play because I needed that agility, that quickness, stop and start on the dime, moving in different directions. I needed that grip. If I didn't feel comfortable with the grip or confident in my grip on the floor, then I wasn't confident in the way that I could play. So that's why I was always touching the floor. But anyway, this day in Germany, we're playing on this floor. And in Germany, the way the gyms are, I don't know if anyone listens to this has played ball in Germany. The floors are not the same kind of floors we play in the United States. A lot of the floors are not hardwood floors. They're like these really hard surface floors. I don't even know how to explain it. It's kind of like if you took gym class in high school and the kind of floors they have, it's just this solid, really solid material. It's not hardwood. There's no give whatsoever. And the floor gets so damn dusty. It's like slick by nature. And I hated playing on that floor. But anyway, this floor is so dusty. This is my only day practicing with this team. So I'm like, man, I got to figure this out somehow, some way. So I'm wiping my shoes like every 5 seconds, right? And we do this drill, this one-on-one drill. And the one-on-one drill, you get like 3 or 4 dribbles or something to score on the guy. And they had me matched up with this young guy, a German kid, maybe 18, 19-year-old kid, matched up with him in this one-on-one drill. Now, this guy did not score on me on any of his chances. He had like 5 chances to score on me. He never scored not one basket. Didn't come close. And the 5 times that I was being guarded by him, I scored them all 5 times. But the thing was, I had to kind of do a more basic game because the floor was so slippery. I couldn't really use my speed and quickness the way that I wanted to because the slipperiness of the floor kept me from doing any change of direction moves. So I did a whole lot of really basic stuff and was scoring on him anyway. Now, after that practice, I'm sitting down with the agent who had brought me to the team. He had watched the practice and he said to me, listen, Dre, yeah, you scored on that guy, but it wasn't impressive enough. I said, what? Come again? What'd you just say? He said, yeah, you scored on him, but you know, you're an American. If you're an American and you're playing against a German in this country, you got to score on that guy off of like 1 dribble, 2 dribbles, the first step, and just make it look easy. You were scoring on him, but it didn't look easy. It looked like you were trying too hard to score on him. You got to score on him a little bit more easier than that, because if you don't, then the people are going to look at you as if you're really not that good. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. And the next game, he had me playing in the game with the team. The next game, I scored about 30 points. I didn't pass the ball at all that game because my mindset coming into that game is, okay, you want to see me score points, I'll show you points. But anyway, I'm telling you that point. This piece of advice right here is to whom much is given, much is expected. When it comes to playing professional basketball internationally, if you're an American, you're expected to be the best player in the gym just because you're American. Nothing to do with your size, your pedigree, where you played at, how good anybody else is. Just because you're American, people are expecting a certain level of performance from you. If it's fair or not fair, that's what they're expecting. And if you don't deliver it, people are going to look at you like there's something wrong with you. So when you step into the room and whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you're involved in, if you got a certain pedigree or you've negotiated or demanded a certain price or got a certain contract or that you're talked up and billed to the audience as a certain type of individual who can deliver at a certain level, people are expecting that from you. They don't want to hear any stories. People will not accept you having an off day. You know what I mean when I say an off day? People will not accept you having any excuses or any reasons why you're not as good as you're billing. You better be better than hype. Whatever the hype is about you, even if you're not responsible for the hype, you better be better than the hype. So if you want to find out what the hype is, go find out and then make sure your game delivers at a higher level than whatever it is people are expecting from you, even if you did not plant that seed of expectation, which often you don't, is made by everybody else. You better be better than that hype, because if you're not, then people are going to have something negative to say. And that could be bigger than just people saying things. It could affect your job status. It could affect your future prospects as a professional in what you're doing. Hold on. Got to interrupt my own podcast to ask you a question. You hear me talk about discipline, the discipline of showing up every single day on this show. How would you like to finish everything you start, develop complete focus, and eliminate all distractions forever for the rest of your life? If you're answering yes, that is something that I would definitely want. I know it is. You need to take a look at 30 Days to Discipline. 30 Days to Discipline is exactly as it says. It's a 30-day mini course where you're going to receive a new video, tip, lesson, explanation, and strategy every single day for 30 days that will help you do the things that you've been thinking about doing, but you never got around to doing them. If you ever had the challenge of the work that you want to do isn't the same as the work that will make your goals a reality, if you ever had the challenge of having a high level of potential, but you're always breaking the promises you make to yourself so often that you can't even believe in your own words anymore, How about knowing a whole lot of the things you need to do, knowing exactly what needs to be done, but actually doing it never actually happens? How would you like to get rid of that problem? How would you like to stop feeling powerless with yourself when it comes to moving yourself to action? If any of those are needs for you, if any of those are things you would want, look at 30 Days to Discipline. That is my 30-day course to help you eliminate distractions, develop complete focus, and finish everything you start. Get the full information on the course at dreallday.com/30. That's dreallday.com/30. 30 Days to Discipline. Now let's get back to the program. Point number 11. Today's topic, best advice. This is part 2 of 2, best advice I ever got from my basketball coaches. I was playing in Montenegro. It's a couple years later. Playing in Montenegro in the wintertime. And Herceg-Novi is the city that I was in. Herceg-Novi right on the Bay of Kotor, which is leading into the Mediterranean Sea. So being that it's on the water is a Mediterranean moderate climate, meaning in the wintertime, it doesn't get super cold. Most of the time, it doesn't even snow in Herceg-Novi. If it does snow, you get like a coating of snow. There's no inches of snow. Nobody has a shovel. This is the kind of snow that you handle with a broom. You know how you just sweep the snow away? That's the kind of snow you would get in Montenegro. Now, even though it wasn't that cold, if it's cold enough to snow, it's pretty cold though, right? Right? It got to be 32 degrees to snow, right? Now, the gym in Herceg-Novi was a brand new gym the year that I was there. They had just built this gym. I mean, brand new. The gym had no heat. Brand new gym. No heat. So it'd be freezing cold in the gym. I mean, it wasn't Philadelphia in the wintertime. It was like maybe 40 degrees, 45 degrees, 50 degrees some days outside. We're in the gym practicing. The doors are closed. But if there's no heat, then it's pretty much going to be the same temperature that it is outside. Maybe a few degrees higher, right? So it was maybe 65 degrees in the gym while we're practicing. 65 degrees is pretty cold. I don't know about you. Okay. So we would practice with hoodies and sweatshirts on every single day. A hoodie or a sweatshirt you wore while practicing, the whole practice. The coach wore an overcoat. Like, he had this long coat that went like down past his knees. He would wear it all day in practice. I never saw the coach without a coat on. I never once saw the coach without a coat on through the entire winter because it was cold in the gym. Now, here's the thing. I hate cold. I especially hate, because this is the reason why I moved to Miami, because I like warm weather. I like humidity. I like when it's insufferably hot. Okay. And if you're watching this on video, like, you see where I'm recording at, you see what I'm wearing. Like, I like it hot. Okay. That's what I prefer. I moved to Miami to be in the warm weather. I do not like cold under almost any circumstance, especially when I'm playing basketball. And those of you who play sports, any kind of indoor sport, I know you probably don't like the cold, unless you play something like hockey or something like that. But basketball, I'd rather the gym be hot than it be cold. All right, if something's going to be wrong with the ventilation system, I'd rather it be hot than cold. Because if it's hot, we'll just sweat more. And then it just becomes a matter of, can you stay hydrated enough, or are you pre-hydrated enough? You don't want to get no cramps like LeBron James got in the finals in 2014. I'd rather be hot than cold, because when it's cold, it just makes your whole body even more cold. Your hands get numb. When you sweat, what happens is your body gets even cooler, because that moisture, that's the sweat, hits the atmosphere that's already cold, and then you just get colder. I don't like that. I'm telling you all that to tell you this. When we were practicing in Montenegro, I'm the only American on the team, and there was one day I remember in particular, we were doing like a defensive drill, and it was a really cold day, this particular day. And this particular day, the coach had us doing this defense drill. We never did defensive drills ever. Not a drill, but kind of like a five-on-five simulation thing, half court of defense. We never did this. We never worked anything on defense the whole time I was there. It was always offensive stuff. But anyway, this day we're working on defense. It's cold as hell in the gym. And I didn't really want to push my body too much because my muscles were cold. I didn't like playing or practicing with cold muscles, even though most of the time we did our full court drills, I'd be out there dunking and stuff, and it ravaged my knees. My knees were in terrible shape when I came home from Montenegro that summer. And that's when I rediscovered my jump shot, actually, because my knees were so bad. I wasn't sure I'd be able to be explosive ever again, because that's how bad my knees felt when I came home from Montenegro. But anyway, that's a different story. The coach calls me out in practice this day in his native language. He didn't even speak English. So one of my teammates had to tell me what he said. He said, Dre, you know, you're not going as hard as you should be going in this drill. You know, you got to go harder in this drill. You need to be moving a little bit faster than you've been moving. You're kind of like taking it easy in the drill. And I was taking it easy because I didn't want to strain a groin muscle. I didn't want to strain a knee joint or anything doing this defensive drill because it was damn cold in there. And I expressed that exact point to the coach. Now, most of my teammates did not speak English, but here's something that you learn about Europeans, that they know American profanity very well. All right, they recognize profanity just as well as we would recognize an English word. Okay, so I said, man, it's cold as a motherfucker in this bitch. That was my response. I was kind of annoyed that the coach would even say something because he knew it was cold. He had a damn coat on. But he was calling me out because I wasn't moving fast enough in practice. I said, it's cold as a motherfucker in this bitch. Everybody on the team started laughing because they all understood those two words. All right, they understood cold and they understood motherfucker and they understood bitch. And everybody laughed because they all understood what it was that I was saying. And after he finished laughing, my teammate who was translating said, well, it doesn't matter. You know, other players on the team, they're cold too, but they are practicing just as hard. And I'm telling you that to tell you this, you got to do your job anyway. Sometimes the conditions will not be right. Sometimes the conditions will be absolute, just on a level of unacceptability, but you can't do anything about it. You still got to do your job because I was being paid to be there and I was the only American on the team. So there was a higher standard expected of me. It was 12 guys out there in practice that day, but I was the only one he said anything to. Why? Because I'm the one with the higher expectation. I'm the one with the name. I'm the one that got that American flag next to my name. I'm the one they brought in. Hey, you got to do your job anyway. And there are times you won't feel like doing your job. Parents listening to this, are there times you didn't feel like doing your job? Times you didn't feel like dealing with that little one, that son or that daughter? Times you didn't feel like getting out of bed, but you had to? Times you didn't feel like talking to the teachers? Times you didn't feel like doing X, Y, Z, all the other things that parents do? I don't even have kids, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You got some fill in the blanks for that, right? You don't always feel like doing it, but you do it. Why? Because it's your job. You got to do your job anyway sometimes, even when you don't feel like it. And point number 12, this is the last one. Today's topic is the best advice I got from my basketball coaches in life. This is part two of two. Now, this one didn't actually even come from a coach. Now, this one goes back a couple years before Montenegro. I was playing for this team called the Harlem Ambassadors, traveling basketball team. If you never heard of the Harlem Ambassadors, you have heard of the Harlem Globetrotters, right? You heard of Harlem Globetrotters? Okay. Think of the Globetrotters, but think like the Costco version. All right, that was the Harlem Ambassadors. But anyway, different story for a different day. But the Harlem Ambassadors is owned by this guy named Dale. Right. And Dale, the way that they did their contracts was kind of confusing. So when I played for Harlem Ambassadors, they give me the contract. I signed a contract. But I didn't quite understand everything that was in it. So as the season had begun and I started getting paid, I noticed that I wasn't getting paid the right amount, or at least I thought I wasn't getting paid the right amount. And I needed some clarification on what the hell was going on. So I asked the team manager who had traveled with us because we would travel around from the home base. The home base was in Colorado. Yeah, the team was called the Harlem Ambassadors, but they were based in Colorado. Go figure. We never set foot in Harlem. But anyway, I would call the team owner at the team headquarters, this guy named Dale, and I would ask for Dale at the office. He would get on the phone, and he would explain to me the different, you know, stipulations of the contract and why I was getting what I was getting, why certain monies were being withheld, and this, that, and the third. He would explain it to me. And I called Dale probably for the third time within like 2 weeks after we had started traveling, and Dale came to the phone once and he said, Dre, the only time I hear from you is when it's about your money. And I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, you goddamn right, that's the only time you hear from me, Dale. And another time, it came to Dale's attention that when we were playing in games, I was often asking for the game video from our games because they were filming the games and I wanted the game video. Because I'm thinking, I need this footage. I mean, this is a Harlem Ambassador. This is not actual, this wasn't real live basketball because it was a lot of exhibitionist stuff, a lot of fun and games. It wasn't competitive high level basketball, but this is the only footage. If this is the footage that I got, this is the footage that I got. I can cut it up and make it look good, right? I mean, that's what Instagram is all about, right? But anyway, Dale got wind that I was asking for the game film after every game, and Dale sent the message through the team manager to let me know that the team, the organization, was not keen on the fact that I was always trying to gather game video because it made them feel, Harlem Ambassadors were feeling, that I was more concerned with my next playing opportunity than I was concerned with my current opportunity with the Harlem Ambassadors. Well, guess what? Dale was absolutely right. And I'm telling you that to tell you this. This is point number 12, okay? The only person who gives a fuck about the rest of your career is you. The place you work right now, your supervisor doesn't give a damn where you are 5 years from now. The company you work for, the boss, does not care where you work next. The team that you play for right now, they do not care if you get another job next year with a different team, or you working at Walmart next year, or you're out of basketball next year. Oh, that's the same thing, working at Walmart, right? Nobody gives a damn about what happens to you after they get done using you for whatever they're using you for now. this is a harsh one. This is a dark point. And I would say I hate to end on this point, but I don't, because I got to make sure I'm giving you the real, and that's what I do every day on this podcast. The people who employ you, the people you're working for, don't give a damn what happens to you after you're done working for them. All they care about is what they can get from you right now, what equity they can squeeze out of you now, what you can deliver to them right now. And whatever happens to you next, it won't even matter to you, to them, what happens to you next. They probably won't even ask what happened to you next, because they're going to be moved on to the next person, whoever that happens to be, or the next thing, whatever it happens to be for them. All of that means this. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with the person that you're working for, or the company you're at, or the team you're with. It doesn't mean they're doing anything wrong. It doesn't mean you need to look at them sideways next time you see them. What it means is you need to take full responsibility for yourself. You need to take ownership of yourself, your career, and your future, because nobody else is taking ownership of it. Nobody else even wants a, they only want a minority stake in your future. You know, you ever hear how somebody bought a minority stake in a basketball team, or this guy owns a minority stake in this company? Listen, there is no minority stake in you. All right. The only person who has ownership in you is you. 100%. There are no minority stakes. There are no shareholders. It's just you. So if you don't take full responsibility for you and your next opportunity and your money or where you're going to be going next, ain't nobody else going to do it. Because I guarantee you, after I stopped playing for the Harlem Ambassadors, I ain't never hear from Dale again. He ain't called me and say, hey, Dre, I just wanted to make sure you got another team to play for. I want to make sure you're still on your feet. I want to make sure you got a job and you're still making money. Dale didn't give a damn about anybody but who was playing for the Harlem Ambassadors. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with Dale. It means Dale was minding his business, right? Because his business was owning the Harlem Ambassadors. My business was what Dre Baldwin's got to do. So I'm not, again, this is not a shot at him saying he did anything wrong. It's not a shot at me saying I was doing anything wrong. We were both minding our business. You ever use that phrase, mind your business? This is exactly what it means, literally. What is your business and how much of your mind are you putting on it? Because if you're not minding it, ain't nobody else minding it. And don't ever think, don't ever be fooled into believing somebody else is minding your business for you, because they are not. They're really minding their business and they're just using you to mind their business even better. And you can think about what that means. Let's recap today's topic, which is the best advice, part two of two, the best advice I ever got from my basketball coaches and one basketball team owner. Number seven, I didn't bring you here to be an average player. Whatever your game is, you got to put it out there boldly and authentically and make sure people see it. Number eight, listen to the boss. There are some power struggles you cannot win. You got to know when to bend but not break. Do not be so stiff that you get blown over and snap like a tree in the wind of a hurricane. Number nine, skills will be expected of you. When you get brought into a certain position, people will be expecting certain things of you. Even if you didn't know they're expecting them, they're expecting them. And if you ain't got them, you may be out of an opportunity just as quickly as you got into one. Number 10, to whom much is given, much is expected. When you step into the room, if there's a billing for you, like you've been given top billing, people have been talking you up, or people are expecting something of you because of who you are, where you're from, what you did 5 years ago, whatever it is, they're expecting you. And if you can't bring it, then they're going to blame you for it. Even if you didn't know they were expecting it, you better know what they're expecting, because that's your business to know. And point number 11. You got to do your job anyway. Sometimes it'll be inconvenient. Sometimes it'll be completely unacceptable conditions. Sometimes it'll be completely ridiculous requests made of you. You got to do your job anyway. Why? Because you're a professional and they're paying you for it. Number 12, the only person who gives a fuck about your career, about your future, about where you're going next is not your boss. It is not your supervisor. It is not this person or that person, not anybody other than the person in the mirror. And if you are not minding your business, I guarantee you nobody else is minding it. Do not wake up one day and realize that you were the only one that didn't know nobody else was paying attention. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. I have something free for you. The Super You, my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence. I want to send you a free copy of that book. Physical, not digital, not a PDF. All you need to do is go to DreAllDay.com/free. And I'll send you a free copy of The Super You. You take care of the shipping. Again, that's my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence, called The Super You. Go to DreAllDay.com/free and I'll send you a copy of that book. Do it now. Let's get to it. I really enjoy creating and sharing the Work On Your Game podcast, and I really appreciate everyone who's been listening, sharing, and leaving reviews. And if we're going to keep this show going, I'm going to need the support of my listeners. That's why I opened up a Patreon account for everyone who listens to this show to support the show, get some great bonuses for being a supporter, and keep the Work On Your Game podcast coming every single day as it has been all these days since 2016. Go to patreon.com/DreAllDay. to learn how you can support the show and get some bonuses for yourself at the same time. That's patreon.com/DreAllDay. I told you I was going to give you tons of value every single day, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work On Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work on your game.